It's 7:41 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Mark Combs is a West Virginia veteran. Along with his friend Cameron, decided to take a chance on professional acting by moving first to L.A., but things didn't go according to plan.
Cameron and I weren't necessarily rolling in the money in West Virginia, but we weren't doing bad. But that still meant we were poor as f*** on L.A. standards.
We continue our struggle to stay series coming up on West Virginia Morning. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Members of the Senate have approved a budget for the upcoming fiscal year for the second time this week. The bill they approved Tuesday contains no new revenue for 2018 and makes major cuts to both higher education and Medicaid in order to find a balance. But the latest budget is accompanied by yet another tax reform bill that Ashton Mara reports now has bipartisan support in the state's upper chamber.
We're back to square one. Let's put it this way.
Democratic delegate Linda Longstreth was one of a dozen members of the House from both parties who walked out of a meeting with the governor and a group of senators Thursday morning. The exodus was caused by what Longstreth says were rude remarks directed at Democrats from a Republican senator. The governor's take on the issue?
Senator Carnes stood up and made an idiot of himself, and that's just all there is to it, and made everybody mad. And
Governor Jim Justice spoke with reporters after the meeting, mentioning Republican Senator Robert Carnes, who's been an outspoken proponent of tax reform since the start of the regular legislative session in February. Negotiations over a tax reform bill had broken down earlier in the week, causing both chambers to approve separate budgets with no new revenue for the 2018 fiscal year. But Justice, who decided to back the tax reform initiative on the final night of the regular session, wasn't ready to walk away from the issue Thursday. He called the meeting with lawmakers and a select group of lobbyists to push the issue and present one more tax reform bill.
Is if we don't do this, then we've got to cut. There's no way around it. We've got to cut.
And Justice says he's not willing to make those cuts. So late Thursday night, senators were presented with
Senate Bill 1017, by request of the executive relating generally to Tax Reform Act of 2017.
Yet another tax reform bill. After countless variations over the past 2 months, this bill raises the sales tax to 6.5% and gets rid of exemptions for cell phones, gym memberships, and a number of other items and services. It restructures the state's coal severance tax, giving mining companies a break when the price per ton is low and charging them more when it's high. It creates an income tax exemption for military retirement and some Social Security pay and ends an $11.7 million sales tax transfer to the state road fund. But the biggest piece, the piece that's caused so much tension, is the reduction of the personal income tax. Under this bill, the tax rate would be reduced by 5% on January 1, 2018, for any income under $150,000. Wage earners in the highest brackets will not receive the large tax cuts that were once included in the Senate bill. The bill proposes cutting the tax rates by another 5% each year for the following 3 years, but sets up economic triggers, or essentially revenue benchmarks, that the state must meet in order for those additional reductions to kick in. When put to a vote Thursday night, 30 of 34 senators voted in favor of the bill, including 10 of 12 Democratic members, like Senator Mike Romano.
We really got everything we asked for. We're in a dire situation, and we had to address that and close our budget deficit.
During that morning meeting, Romano says Democratic members of the Senate offered additional changes to the tax reform plan that were embraced by both the governor and Senate Republicans and incorporated into the bill that was placed before them.
When you look at it, what the Republican caucus wanted was really a trickle-down theory budget that rewarded the very top wage earners at the expense of the middle class and working wage earners, into a bill that really gave a middle-class tax cut and still balanced the budget.
Senate Majority Leader Ryan Ferns says he believes those tax cuts in the top income brackets were not just for wage earners, but also for LLCs and other small businesses that could have used the cuts to create new jobs. But, he says, the latest bill is only the beginning.
You know, I don't think this, as much as people probably don't want to hear this, this isn't by any means the end of tax reform. This is very much just a small first step, taking a bite at the apple. But
after the passage of the revenue bill, senators also voted with a bipartisan majority to send a budget based on the new revenue to the House. That budget meets what Justice presented in a March revenue adjustment letter and includes a 2% teacher pay raise, the full funding of Medicaid, limits higher education cuts to 2% for most schools and 4.4% for Marshall and West Virginia universities, and essentially, according to Ferns, maintains government spending.
This doesn't reduce much government spending, but it freezes government spending. We will basically spend in 2018 what we spent in 2017.
Both bills will be sent to the House of Delegates, which could take them up in a floor session scheduled for 10 a.m. Both Ferns and Romano are pleading with delegates to consider the latest versions. But House Republicans have been staunchly opposed to the personal income tax changes and to the increase in the consumer sales tax since they were initially proposed. House Speaker Tim Armstead spoke with reporters after the governor's morning meeting, but before the Senate's action Thursday night, saying that if Justice continued to push for tax reform, he would be shutting the government down.
If the governor is going to insist on introducing another bill to try to do something that has been voted down three times already, I don't think that helps anything. I don't think that gets us closer.
Lawmakers have until June 30th to pass a bill and avoid a government shutdown. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara at the State House.
We continue this week with our Struggle to Stay series following actor and Iraqi war veteran Mark Combs and his good friend and artist Cameron Elias Williams. These young men took off from West Virginia hoping to land on their feet in Los Angeles, the land of abundant creative jobs, far from their economically depressed homes in Appalachia. But they found out target life in L.A. was a little harder to hit than expected.
Mark and Cameron didn't expect to have to spend so much money when they got to California. They didn't expect to be headed to Denver a week later. And they certainly didn't expect that Denver would push them to breaking points either. Life's full of surprises. But let's catch up. When we last heard from them...
Surprise! We're in Denver. Mile High City. So, basically, Los Angeles didn't work out.
Yeah, it didn't work out this time around. We're gonna reposition ourselves and come back stronger and better, I guess you could say.
Right.
Mark and Cameron got to California in September and left 7 days later, several grand poorer.
You know what? I don't really think it really crossed our minds that, yeah, Cameron and I weren't necessarily, rolling in the money in West Virginia, but we weren't doing bad. But that still meant we were poor as f*** on L.A. standards.
A guy coming to the store today, and he was from L.A., and he was talking about one of his friends that pays $2,500 for a one-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood. And I can guarantee you that house didn't come with a damn refrigerator, because L.A. is just weird like that, and they don't provide fridges for their tenants, and you have to supply your own, which is just, it's weird. It's ridiculous.
Cameron and Mark basically pulled Denver out of a hat. They arrived there without much of a plan, much as they did in Los Angeles. But this time, they chose a city where it's not as expensive to live. Instead of $1,600 to $2,000 rent per month, they're looking at $1,200 to $1,500. And unlike L.A., the rental market was far less competitive.
Well, we just found out that we were approved for a place. Thank God we finally found a place. It was beginning to be soul-crushing.
It's going to take a couple months to rebuild, not as long as L.A. because it was just so expensive out there for rent and whatnot, but
rent is a lot more feasible here, and you know, gas is pretty cheap, food isn't expensive.
It feels good knowing that that we won't be living in a hotel for very much longer.
Yeah, living out of our bags.
Well, not that we have much more than what's in our bags.
You know what I mean.
Yeah.
They both were able to start working at a pizza place almost as soon as they arrived. That and some loans from friends and relatives got them started. But they didn't have any family in Denver. Not a lot of friends either. So in the coming weeks and months, loneliness set in. It weighed them down and ate away at their motivation to follow their entertainment dreams. Mark recorded an update again 2 months later in late November.
So it's Saturday. Just kind of doing some cleaning around the house. Thanksgiving was just a couple days ago. I don't think either of us, it had really hit us as hard as it did maybe like in the days leading up to Thanksgiving. Just kind of how alone and tired we are. It's been kind of tough, to be honest. I didn't think I would miss people back home this much, and we were talking on Thanksgiving morning about how just a little over 2 months ago we were on a collision course with becoming homeless. This Thanksgiving, we were just really thankful to have a home and to not be sleeping on the ground in our home anymore, and the fact that we have a couch.
Mark and Cameron did make plans to create a new theater company in Denver. They even talked to friends back home who were really interested in coming to join them, which was encouraging. But unfortunately, it just didn't stick. The day-to-day scramble to stay afloat financially took its toll.
By the time we got here, we were so far behind, owed so many people money, that we just had to constantly work. We couldn't take any jobs that allowed us any time off to be able to go and explore those routes of auditioning for different shows or going and doing stand-up.
I'm an artist. If I'm not creating something, you know, I start to just get really, really on edge and anxious, and I gotta have outlets to, you know, express myself. It's like a form of therapy for me, you know, so.
Not getting to be creative led to some depression. Depression made keeping a job a harder task. Cameron went from delivering pizzas to selling phones. Mark went through several jobs over the course of a few months. Pizza, UPS, a solar startup, a deli. And none of it really provided a living wage.
I have $9 on a credit card. Cameron has a maxed out credit card and one debit card that's in the red and another that's got a zero balance.
It would be nice to report that things got better or easier, that Mark and Cameron find their footing, but that's not what happens next. Not yet. First, things had to get worse.
Like, I've never kind of been in a situation where I hoped somebody OD'd, but I don't know if I could take another suicide.
That's next time.
That was reporter Glennis Board's latest Struggle to Stay installment following Mark Combs and Cameron Williams. We'll hear more about Mark and Cameron's quest to find their dreams outside of the state soon. You can hear this story and the stories that lead up to it online at wvpublic.org. Inspired by trailblazers like Woody Guthrie, Pete Seeger, and traditional songs of the 50s folk revival, Judy Collins embarked on a career that's lasted more than five decades and is still going strong. Here is Judy Collins and Ari Hess with I Choose Love on this Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
Every day we're given another chance to be someone good for someone, to give your heart for free, a chance to either fall below or better rise above. I choose love, I choose love. We've been known to be good, we've been prone to scream, going at each other to fizzle out of steam. But aren't you tired of dishing out the pushes and the shoves? I choose love, I choose love. Mostly of me, didn't want to notice what isn't hard to see. What's easiest to actualize and rarely spoken of. To choose love, to choose love.
That was Judy Collins and Ari Hess with I Choose Love. You can hear this song and more Saturday night at 8 on Mountain Stage right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting.